Hello, this is the Techrama Tax Hotline. I'm Napoleon. How can I help you?
Hi. I want to know if I can write off my Xbox 360 in games.
No, sir. Not unless they're for business purposes. Thank you. Idiot! Hello, this is like the Technorama Tax Hotline. I'm Napoleon. How can I help you?
915 Section 3, Subsection A, Paragraph 3. This is a yes or no question. Should I put there?
Just put in a frickin' 1 or 0. Gosh! Hello, this is like the Technorama Tax Hotline. I'm Napoleon. How can I help you?
What is the average velocity of a latent swallow?
Sir, this is a tax hotline. Do you have a frickin' tax question, you dingleberry?
Can I claim my podcast listening time?
Do they have anything to do with interdimensional travel?
No, my transdimensional gateway is currently being realigned to the resonant frequency of the second moon of Zentar 5 to counteract random quantum fluxes.
Do you live with your parents?
Yes.
You can't claim much, can you?
No.
Thank you for calling the Technorama Tax Hotline. Idiots!
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech, tech.
And now,
the news. Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Texas!
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Hear your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. To say it takes a lighthearted look is putting it lightly. We cover everything nobody else wants to. This is the show for this is the show for April 11th,
heavy-handed,
in the year of our Lord 2007. Someone's been fooling with my show notes again. He could tell by the giggling on the other end. This is your first time listening to Technorama. Thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is not only one Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good.
But we have my daughter Lisa in the audience. The studio.
Yay, Lisa.
Studio audience. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
She's on spring break still.
Wait, Chuck. I know how to talk to the kids. What's happening, yo, homie? Did that work?
And
did
how do
translate?
You respond? Yo, what's up, y'all? Come on, you do that to me all the time.
I'm down with that, yo. Well, maybe I'm not working. It's not working. I lost my mojo.
Maybe your universal communicator isn't working.
Yeah. We'll figure that out later. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got someone's idea of what 2001 would be like about 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
We've got where to get your very own rocket belt and a new plane design modeled after a tuna.
I want a rocket belt.
We'll be right back after this.
Rocket belt!
On this day in tech history for April 11, 2007. This is April 11th. It's the 101st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. 101. There are 264 days remaining in 2007. It was on this day in 1905 that Einstein reveals his theory of relativity. And the first sports broadcast on the radio was made on this date in 1921. It was April 11, 1970 that Apollo 13 is launched. And the Iranian president announces that Iran has successfully enriched uranium 1 year ago today. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1705 to William Cookworthy, the English chemist. An English physician, James Parkinson, was born on this date in 1755. Italian physicist Macedonio Meloni was born in the state in 1798. Also born on April 11th, 1899, Percy Levon Julian, the African-American scientist. British mathematician Andrew Wiles turns 54 today. And finally, Canadian model and actress Tricia Helfer, or number 6 to you BSG fans, turns 33 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for April 11, 2007.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and whenever I'm in podcast land, I listen to Chuck Chat.
Welcome back, and well, we were listening to On This Day in Tech History. Craig and I both want to be a Cylon so bad.
Yeah. Actually, I too late.
Why?
It's Tricia Helfer's birthday. She turns 33.
Who's Tricia Helfer?
She's the blonde girl on Battlestar Galactica.
The Cylon. Cylons.
Mechanical goodness.
Yeah, mechanical goodness.
Want to give a shout out to the people in the chat room. I think we've got the whole family here tonight. We've got Country Signs. Yes.
Let Lisa read them all out.
Country Signs, Captain Bunny, JT from the Gig Cast.
Let Lisa read them.
Huh? Let Lisa? She can't see the screen from there.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, yeah, good luck with this. Karak Sindru. Lingo, Lord Cat, Mad Marv. Who else? Here, she can use my mic.
Mark Shepard.
Okay.
Mike 4023.
Mike McBride. We're going to be here a while. Missing Intellect. Nightstar.
Rugian.
Ryu. What?
I don't know.
Ryujin. Soul Blaze. Tim Elliott. The Easter Phoenix. I thought there was only an Easter Bunny. Yeah. Trebron. Tyrion Thelp. A.K.A. David. Zaha Doom and Zaha Lisa. Yeah, okay.
Zaha Lisa.
Happy birthday. No, not happy birthday. Welcome to the chat room. The happy birthdays are coming up in a second. Gosh. Let's skip it. Let's just go to the happy birthdays.
Right. I want to say happy birthday.
On the 14th, it's happy birthday to... Who?
Danny.
Danny?
Hamish?
I think it's Harnish. Oh. The R and the N look close on this particular screen.
Like the chicken.
Have you heard the birthday song, Lisa?
Which one?
This one.
Woot!
Happy birthday, birthday, baby. Shoebox, shoebox, you know you're driving me crazy all night long. Here's a birthday wish for you from the Technorama crew. Happy birthday, birthday, baby. Shoebox, shoebox.
I'm selling now. Hey, Chuck, I was trying to tell her that it was like her. His name was like the chicken, like the garnish hen.
Harnish.
No, it.
Garnish.
Wait a minute, that's not garnish either, is it?
If it happens to be your birthday and you're not on the listener birthday calendar, why the heck not? Go to the wiki, chuckchat.com/wiki. Look for fun and games, and you'll see the listener birthday calendar. Get your name on there, and we'll wish you a happy birthday next time around.
It's easy, and it's free.
And it's, yeah, and quick.
And dirty.
How come you have, like, a lot of tabs?
A lot of tabs? Because those are the stories we're covering in tonight's Technorama. If you happen to be around on Sunday nights and you want to listen to the show as it's being done live, complete with any outtakes Craig may edit out.
Hey, and you know what, Lisa, why don't you should just subscribe to the show, and then you can hear what me and your dad are up to.
Then you'll know.
Yeah, since you got your own iPod now. Yeah,
Lisa's got her own iPod. So sweet.
I already had my own iPod, though.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you already did?
You could subscribe to podcasts now.
Yeah, so you got...
But I
no way, podcasts are for nerds.
I'm subscribed to your freestyle one.
Are you subscribed to freestyle?
Yeah.
Okay, that's two.
Hey, it is two.
But it's not on my...
And Chuck's the other one, that's the sad part.
Yeah, I have to make sure it uploaded fine.
Hey, well...
It's not on my iPod, though.
Oh, okay, it's not syncing.
Hey, Lisa, do your friends listen to any podcasts?
No.
No way, podcasts are for geeks.
Shall I hang around with geeks? And let's say none of your friends know what a podcast is, or they just don't subscribe to any.
They don't like any.
They don't like any?
I don't think they're looking hard enough. There's thousands and thousands out there. There are more podcasts and TV shows. And look how many mindless drones watch the dumbest TV shows.
Chuck, maybe we should...
Like, bo 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 bo.
What?
That's an actual cartoon name. Bo 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 bo.
Oh. Chuck, I was thinking maybe we should try and target the younger audience with the more hip, younger talk, like we were trying to do earlier. I think that'll work.
And Lisa can help us with that?
Yeah. What's some of the lingo we should be using in our show, then? Yeah.
At the beginning, you have to go, yo, what's up, my fishizzles?
All right, I'll practice that for next week.
We're going to take a break while we learn to inhale and come right back with the news.
Okay.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Good morning. Any morning is a good morning when you're listening to Chuck and Craig in Technorama. This is Victor Cahiar from the... Hey! What happened to you guys? I thought you were singers. Back to Chuck and Craig.
Be a part of the Friends in Tech community. Visit the FIT forums at forums.friendsintech.com.
Good news, everyone!
I don't like the sound of that.
Bad news, nobody.
Bad news, nobody. We've got that one, too. Lisa knows we got all these clips.
I know. She was probably there when you recorded them.
In the good news section...
Yeah,
where is it? My things are out of order here.
Starting
Who's
off,
been moving got... my clips around.
All right. Well, let off with everything here, Chuck. It's the rocket belt.
I'm looking for the tab. There it is. Nope, that's the other one.
Tabs. Oh, you're talking about tabs across your
tabs browser. Across my browser. I open all this stuff up before we get going, but apparently I've lost track. So, rocket belts from Andy Helsby.
Click.
Apparently, you can get your own.
I've seen this before. This is the guy that, this is his company's website that makes the rocket belt. I think we talked about this guy a while back, but I was pointing to his Popular Science article, and he was talking about how he would test it, and he had a pole with a cable so he didn't, like, fly away and go too far. But he would test this thing, and it was a rocket propulsion. He got inspired by the guy that, if you've probably seen him, like, in the 70s or whatever, he'd come
in football games. Yeah, James Bond had one. I think they had one on Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. Well, it's the same. That's the same rocket thing. Yeah, everybody saw it back then. Anyway, this guy got inspired by that, and he's making his own. And here, and this is our, and of course, these look a little more high-tech than that old one did.
Same basic principle with nozzles pointing down and the pack on the back, but it looks like they've updated the harness configuration to be more of a fiberglass wraparound body thing.
And a neck protector, so it's got a place so you don't bang your head on the back of the rocket. It's pretty cool.
Well, that's awful thoughtful of them.
We gotta have some safety
measures. Than getting your neck hair frozen to the nitrogen.
Well, and OSHA will come on in, and you got all kinds of trouble after that.
Yeah. I don't see a price on here, but they do have some pictures and some videos. If you want to take a look, we'll have a link in the show notes. They look weird. If we judged everything by that, we wouldn't have a podcast.
Yeah, it's one of those things. If you have to ask how much it is, you can't afford it.
Kind of like I did with the Honda Jet.
Yeah, so you asked. That was a problem. How much is this thing? All right, security.
Out. Next article in the news. Will phones replace wallets, or are wallets obsolete?
Yeah,
what are you laughing at?
How does a phone replace a wallet?
Well, listen up, Craig's going to tell you.
Yeah, I'm going to fill you in on the 411, yo.
Did you get that?
Anyway, so here's how it works. In some countries, they're already doing this, where your cell phone has some information in it to purchase items. So, like, if you went up to a Coke machine and it had an 800 number on it,
right?
You dial in the number, it gets your phone number, and voila, it charges your account, and you get the Coke.
Okay.
Okay, so you don't need your wallet. And so they're wanting you to use your phone to do things like get in your house and stuff like that.
What about those stores that only take cash?
Well, that would be a problem. That would be a problem. But I don't know.
Wait. There's these dollar stores. What if your phone costs more than a dollar?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be a professional here. You guys aren't helping.
You'll get nowhere with us.
Anyway, I see where they're going with this. But yeah, there's some things I want to carry around. I don't want it so easily to take money from me, you know, which already can, I guess. Well,
you know, this makes sense for things like the iPass lanes on the tollways.
Mm-hmm.
I never have the right change, and I don't have an iPass because I only use these things about once every 3 or 4 months.
Well, you know, they already do that. You ever seen those cars with the barcodes on the side?
Well, that'd be nice, except I don't want my car painted like a zebra.
No, not all the whole car, you doofus. It's just like on the back window sticker. It's like a sticker. It's about as big as your hand, maybe, and it's got a barcode on it. You ever seen those?
No.
Well, you drive through, and it's like a speed pass, and they just scan your car.
Oh, okay.
So you don't...
Read the license plate. Why don't they just, you know, do it that way? Every car already has at least 2 or 3 different unique ways of being identified.
Yeah, that's true.
Why do I need another sticker for another thing?
I don't know.
But back to the phones.
I can answer these questions, however. But I don't know. But I've seen those stickers, and I kept thinking, what is that for? I thought it was like CarMax or something. It was like their inventory sticker. You know, but no, it's actually to do the SpeedPass thing.
And... You write this article about wallets right after the kind Technorama listeners get me a new wallet?
Yeah.
Okay, now do I need a Faraday cage around my phone?
Yes. Hacks and Strange Stories.
Hacks and Strange Stories!
Didn't we just say that?
I think so. I have deja vu all over again.
4 stories about an iPod that actually saved somebody's life.
Yes.
It stopped bullets.
It stops bullets. Right.
It's cool. A super iPod.
Oh. There's a Flickr picture, link on the show notes, to a Flickr picture of what appears to be a second generation 20 gig iPod. Maybe
or
it's a third
first.
Gen.
First.
Okay. Could be a third. No, I don't think it's a first because they didn't have any 20 gig. No,
it's got the newer click wheel on it. But
yeah.
But yeah, and it's the guy was in Iraq and a bullet hit it and he had it in his vest and it stopped the... I guess between that and the vest, it stopped the bullet. And you can see it's all torn up, just like the bullet hit it. And I think, was it Country Signs? Oh, we were talking about it on Twitter. Country Signs said, well, I wonder if it'd be really cool if Apple gave her a new one. I said, well,
that's a fourth gen.
I said, well, you know, it would be cool, but HP has got their logo on the back of it, so I don't think Apple may replace it.
Oh.
Yeah, but.
You're right. Yeah. No, that's a fourth gen.
It's a fourth
Holy
gen.
Smokes, this guy's got 10,000 pictures on his Flickr account.
Yeah,
what? That's a lot.
Yeah.
Wow, I think I got about 800.
You know
what? And I've been doing Flickr for, what, 2 years now?
Well, you know what? I don't know about you, but I just check an account. My personal picture library.
Thank you.
I think for the last few years, I've averaged about 3,300 pictures.
Anyway, back to the iPod. My only thought when I saw this was it thought of the movie Johnny Dangerously with Michael Keaton.
Huh?
Where he gets shot and he's got the, you know, steel cigarette pack in his pocket that saves his life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's pretty fun.
This is the modern version. Johnny Dangerously 2.0.
So now everybody's going to want the military outfitted with iPods, like 4 or 5 of them in their chest.
The Kevlar iPod. It's what you need.
So, anyway, well, that's actually it's a cool story, but you know, I hate that he lost his stuff.
Oh, that's bad.
A link from Mike Lingefelter, aka Lingo, over at the Britain Yankee. He sent me this link to what was it, devilducky.com.
Yeah,
I think this was a video captured off of Adult Swim.
Yes, and
this is the.
And you know what? I did get permission to play that in our show.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't send me the audio.
Well, that's okay, because it'll hear it now.
Wasn't that nice?
Dad, can you hear Camptown Races now?
Son, you know those MIDI files aren't sorted.
Please?
Wish you could find a way to organize all your MIDI files by date and name? Well, now you can with the Synco MIDI Organizer Filing System. It hooks up to any T38 SCSI port. First, unlock your hard drive by rotating the Tully toggle. Now load our revolutionary 10-disc floppy software bundle. Just sit back and watch the MIDI organizer as it identifies MIDI files, pulls them off your computer, and puts them into the Synco box. Once in the box, each file is assigned an UMRIN, or unique MIDI routing number. Now you can organize your files by name, date, kind, or size. Then print.
We found it. Camptown Races. 6, 5, 1, 6, 3, 6, 8, 7, 9, 6, 5, 1, 0, 7.
The Synco MIDI Organizer Filing System. Order
now. That's pretty good, isn't it?
The UMRIN, the unique MIDI reference number. That's convenient. Kids reading the audio for like 10 minutes or reading the serial number.
Now, you know, Timmy, these aren't organized.
If you watch the video, the first question my kids had was that a boy or a girl? And then he says, you know, son, these are
like, yeah. You know what? I thought it was a little girl too, the way he had her haircut or something. You know, son.
And
that was pretty funny.
What's a toggle wheel?
Oh, a Tully toggle.
Oh, a Tully toggle.
Compatible with any, what's it, type 38 SCSI port. The Tully toggle is that little wheel on the keyboard. Don't you have one?
No.
It looked like a click, like an old 70s click wheel for his keyboard.
Finally, in the news section, we've got, is this the future of general aviation? A consortium of European designers and companies are working on a radical redefinition of a general aviation aircraft. Modeled after a tuna, the Smartfish flies without slats, spoilers, or flaps.
Yeah. It's actually designed...
I'm calling shenanigans on this.
What? If you click the link, it takes you right to the projects page. But if you click the second
and...
link...
And... Everything on the internet is believable, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Why would it be on the internet then?
Well, wait a minute. Now, we just talked about that new plane design from Boeing that had it was no fuselage. It was like one big wing. So how is this so far-fetched there, Mr. Tomasi?
Where are the control surfaces?
Yeah.
It's just a prototype, man. Come on.
Oh, so it's like a concept car. It looks cool, but it won't really run.
Yeah.
You're like Harsh and My Mellow, man.
modeled after a tuna. You can.
Well, there's a model. There's pictures of them making a model of it.
You can tune a piano, but
making
you can't tune a fish.
Making a model of it.
Yeah, see? Ooh,
Lisa's calling you out, man.
Hey, well, I'm fine. Move on to the next story.
Before we do the next story, we're going to take a quick break.
All right. Yeah.
You and your tuna fish sandwich plane.
I'll take my tuna plane and go home. Wait, I am home.
All right, we'll be back in a sec.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Good morning.
Any morning is a good morning when you're listening to Chuck and Craig in Technorama. This is Victor Cahiar from the... Hey. What happened to you guys? I thought you were singers. Back to Chuck and Craig.
Be a part of the Friends in Tech community. Visit...
Hi, this is Larry.
And this is Paul.
From Paul.com Security Weekly. You can reach us at Paul.com.com. That's PAULDOTCOM.com. Your source for IT security news, vulnerabilities, and research.
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp.
Damn it, Jim. Take me back to the podcast.
Captain, I can't hold it any longer.
Angel,
28 silver dollar pancakes, and about a gallon of syrup, baby. And a fresh TV.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
This is Steve Holden at TechNewsRadio.com. When you listen to Technorama, just about anything can happen.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
Do you remember that, Lisa?
And Technorama remembers from Phil Clark. Wow, we've got both parties of the Britain Yankee podcast contributing.
Absolutely. Yep.
Predictions from a 14-year-old, circa 1901. This is from paleofuture.blogspot.com. In the year 1901, Arthur Palm, a 14-year-old student from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, published an article in his school newspaper, The Excelsior, describing the world of 2001. Below is an excerpt of his article as featured in this book. Now, this goes on to say, on the streets, there will not be any room for streetcars, so they will build lines way up in the air. I think they called that the L in Chicago.
Hey, it's true. I saw it in Back to the Future.
And there will be landings fastened to the high skyscrapers where the people will wait for the cars. Close.
Still on the ground.
You will see a sign, old people restored to youth by electricity while you wait.
I'm still waiting on that.
The belief that electricity would eventually cure all ills was surprisingly common back then. I guess that's why I'm so amazed that people still receive electroshock therapy.
Yeah.
Lisa, your music's
that's
a little loud.
Oh.
You're just playing with her. I was like, what? Shuffle.
Wait, we're going to get sued.
Beatles. Yeah, we'll get sued.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with the Beatles. And that's pretty cool. I always like seeing this.
Can't
some of the
find anything
predictions.
Except for the Beatles.
Well, don't play it so loud we can hear it.
I didn't do it on purpose.
We're going to jump into the media corner then.
I'm a professional here. I can't work like this.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
And we start out the media corner with a bit of sad news.
Yes, Johnny Hart, the creator of BC, dies, which, you know, I kind of hate that because that cartoon had a, you know, special place in my heart. Because, you know, I watched, not that I read it recently, but I used to read it back in the day, and it kind of stinks.
I did, too. That was a good cartoon.
Yeah, and you know what? His wife said that he had a stroke, and he died at his table. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what she says, at least in one of the articles I read.
And that's the way the readers would like to think him going.
Yeah.
All right, on a bit of happier news, we've got another top 10 list.
Yes.
Monkeys!
Monkeys!
Take your hands off me, you damn dirty ape!
Number 10, Jack in the Most Valuable Primate series. Can't say I'm too familiar with that one.
No, I'm not. The bone-wielding monkey in 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Okay.
I'm familiar with
that
him.
That wasn't a monkey. That was a man in a suit.
No, it was like pre-man.
Pre-man. Oh, the missing link thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We're 2-for-2. They don't qualify.
Okay. We got Suzanne from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Classic movie lore there.
Number 7 is King Louie from The Jungle Book. Now, he was cool.
Yes, of course. He was cool. Hey, everybody, let me tell you. He had that hee-ma-ha-ma kind of sound going on. Anyway, Jack from The Pirates of the Caribbean.
I want to walk like you.
No, it goes like this. He goes, yeah, it's true. I want to be like you. I want to walk like you, talk like you, too.
Very good rendition there, Lisa.
She's seen The Jungle Book a few more times than I have, obviously.
Yeah.
Mind like a sponge, Bob. Yeah. Squarepants.
Then we had Jack from the Pirates of the Caribbean.
He was the little mascot zombie monkey.
Yep. And number five for you, sir?
Dr. Zaius from Planet of the Apes. You know, yep. I can't help thinking of the musical rendition of Planet of the Apes from The Simpsons when I hear his name. Do you remember that? When they were doing...
Dr. Zaius, Zaius.
Exactly. They took Amadeus and made Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Zaius. Dr. Zaius. I'm not going to sing the whole thing.
Number four...
is Robin Williams. What? I didn't get that.
I did not understand this. I had to read the whole paragraph, and I still don't understand it.
I don't understand.
Talk about evolution. This particular primate has managed to forge himself a career. Known as Robin, he first appeared making rudimentary jokes on TV sitcom Mork and Mindy before he was catapulted into the limelight and started making movies. He walks on his two hind legs like a human, but maybe that's it.
You seen his arms, man? It's like a forest.
Yeah, what was that movie he was in? Moscow on the Hudson. Yeah, he is a hairy guy.
Yeah.
Number three.
Yeah, the Nazi monkey from Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was a... You know, when you think that monkey was cute, he'd turn on you. That can... You know, the monkey sucked.
Hate that monkey. Hate monkeys. Yeah. It's like clowns. I hate monkeys.
Yeah.
Number two is my favorite. As soon as I saw this list, I said, you can't have a list without Clyde from Every Which Way But Loose and Every Which Way You Can. Clyde. Yep.
That's right. He was a good orangutan. It wasn't a monkey. It was an orangutan.
There's monkeys and there's apes. You're right.
And then there's
monkeys have tails.
All right. We'll just stretch it in the primal...
primate human, department.
In the male definition of monkey...
If we're going for primates, then I'd say we'd also have to have all of the lemurs from Madagascar on there.
I like to move it.
You know what? Me and Harrison and Kim have only watched that like maybe once or twice, and it's been a while since we watched that. And still, he goes, "I like to move it." I'm like,
Harrison does.
Yeah, it's pretty memorable, I guess.
How many times did I say that when we were in Chicago, Lisa?
Say what?
I like to move it. We were walking around the Field Museum. I probably said that a half a dozen times.
With Julie.
Okay.
She's probably tuning it out.
Yeah, they ignore me now.
Shut up, Dad.
No, I'm not with him.
Yeah, when...
What?
When Danielle was over, my friend, Dad made a joke, and Grandma was over too. Dad made a joke, and we were all just sitting there, cracking up.
Her friend has not been initiated into the ways of the family. You know, if you've listened to Technorama for a while, you know there are these smart aleck comments that just come out. You know, Craig, you do it, I do it.
I never do it.
Her friend was sitting there at the breakfast table and then started cracking up, and everybody's looking at her like, what's so funny? Yeah. Like they missed something. No, she's the only one who's listening now.
No.
No, we listen. We just tune it out. It's like, whatever.
If you ignore him, he'll just shut up and go away. And number one?
Number one is King Kong in King Kong.
Is that like the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd with Dr. Floyd?
Now this is the original King Kong, not the newer one. So it's pretty big.
And our next article is a scientific discovery. Why do men ignore nagging wives?
Yeah, now I put this in here because it caught my eye, if you can understand why.
Yeah, I can't imagine why. We have to be careful now. We've been you know, spouse bashing on this show for a while.
No, I have not. I have never bashed my spouse.
Not your spouse, but the the fairer sex, the better gender.
I've never, Chuck.
A psychologist has found the answer to the age-old question many women have about their husbands. Why does her husband often seem to ignore her requests for help around the house? What requests around the house?
What vanity? I'm sorry, you lost me by that part.
New research findings now appear online in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology show that people do not necessarily oppose others' wishes intentionally, but even the slightest non-conscious exposure to the name of a significant person in their life is enough to cause them to rebel against that person's wishes.
Chuck Tomasi.
Read on. Oh, pain. My husband, while very charming in many ways,
has an annoying tendency to do exactly the opposite of what I would like him to do in many situations, said Tanya L. Chartrand, an associate professor of marketing and psychology at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business.
You know what's...
Or Fuqua.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is at the end, one of the couples that they were using this test actually took home two different interpretations of the results.
So is the answer to ask the, make a request, don't do the laundry and maybe I'll do it?
Read the article and you'll find out.
You think that might work, Lisa?
No.
She's got you figured out.
And finally, tell me how this one ended up in the media corner.
The Rubik's Cube? The Rubik's Revolution, actually. I put it in there. It's because the Rubik's Revolution is this new thing. The Gizmodo's kind of, poo-pooing on it. It's a mix between Simon. You remember the thing where you hit the bonk, 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 the different sounds? Yeah. Well, it's a mix between Simon and Rubik's Cube. So the Rubik's Cube has all these lights and sounds on it, and you're trying to change it and stuff. It's, I don't know, they don't like it very much, but this is the review basically said, don't waste your $20 on this toy when it's released this summer. But anyway, you can go read about it. There's even a video showing how it works. So.
The description you've got here is Rubik's Revolution, like Rubik and Simon had a deformed child.
That's about right.
That says it all. Yeah, that sums it up.
That's it.
Save your pennies for another toy.
Yep.
Lisa, do you think that's going to be a hot seller this summer?
What?
The Rubik's Revolution.
No.
Not unless it comes out on the Wii, right?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all got a? Y'all have a Wii?
No, but
I want one.
Yeah, she's hinting. She got her iPod Shuffle after enough poking in the ribs.
Hinting? It sounds like you already know. Go get one. There's no hinting involved anymore. Hey, I love mine.
Craig got one. Go visit him.
Yeah, Lisa, you can come to my house and we'll play.
He's only South Carolina.
We play?
Next time I'm there.
Yeah, come on down.
How many attempts have we made now? Three?
Yeah, something like that. I'm not counting anymore. But hey, my son beat me in baseball today. That's pretty sad.
He beat you with a baseball bat?
No, that wasn't... those were not my words. No, he beat me in baseball on the Wii.
Oh, okay. So. I thought maybe we had a thing of family abuse going on here.
Yeah, my son beat me up.
All right, we're going to be right back after this break with... couple of things from the Geek Library, and then we're pretty much wrapped up. We're getting late.
All right,
we got to finish up.
Yep,
be right back.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to Technorama. It's got a silicone skin that fits like a glove. The only thing that's exposed when it's all tight and sealed up. Even if you put in the wide body adapter, it's still too squeezy on the silicone skin. There is a little rubber trap door. It's a very thin membrane, and it impedes absolutely none.
Every once in a while, raise it up or take it off and clean, around it. But I love it. I love that rubbery silicone feel. However, I would always feel like I just want to slide in my hand with that chrome on the back.
It gets pretty slippery, especially if you've been eating Cheetos or something. Your hand gets a little greasy. This has a nice grippy feel, and you could go out in the rain when this would be completely protected because it is practically watertight.
You're listening to the Technorama podcast, and this is Rob from Podcast 411 reminding you to listen different.
Remind me again, Rob.
remind me, what am I doing? In the Geek Library, the top 10 free ebook sites.
Yes, over at Lifehacker, once again, let me back up. Via Lifehacker, they linked over to this website that had the 10 best places to get free books. And, of course, number one is easy enough to everybody should know this in the free world. It's the Gutenberg Press website, or the Project Gutenberg, rather. I've downloaded some stuff from there. The Gutenberg Project is that. Number two is Exchange Use Books with Bookmooch, which this is a website I've seen. I think we mentioned it here when they launched. It's pretty cool. You can go on there. People can say what books they have. You can say you want it. You pay the shipping to that person. And then, of course, as people get that book from you, it works out in the long run. So it's pretty cool little book exchange. And then we have, let's see, number three is the Get Technical Books with ebookspider.com. And says they have ebooks ranging from C-sharp to Ajax, all kinds of stuff. Commercial works can be found there. Number four is Google Book Search. Now, that's a pretty obvious one because, you know, they've been scanning in all those old books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some of them are kind of funny to look at because they actually include the covers and stuff. And you can see some of them look kind of crusty. But they have all the text in there, so you can check it out. And they scan them in and the whole thing. Then download plain text novels with Dwalin, Dwalin. And this is about as basic as it gets, they say. And it consists of an open directory with plain text files there. That's about it. So let's go to part two on this. Part number two on this page, as it loads, is I'm waiting.
Edit that part out.
Yeah. Number six is the Find Specialized IT Books with FreeComputerBooks.com. Hey, I can check that one out. I always like a good computer book. Snuggle up with, you know, and go to sleep. Number seven is LibriVox. Actually, LibriVox is neat, and I mentioned this on Valid Syntax, I think, where you can go and volunteer and read a book to make audiobooks of things. They have texts from Project Gutenberg or whatever, and you go sign up, tell them what book you're going to do. That way there's not a bunch of, you know, layover or overlap, I should say. And then skip the book and get your free study notes with Cliff Notes. Yes, Cliff Notes, the all-time favorite resource, are now giving away their they're giving away all their literal material?
Really?
That's interesting. This is the fastest way to learn. This is Cliff Notes, the all-time favorite resource. Literary study guides are now giving away their lot of literary material. A truly excellent resource if you're cramming for a test. I wouldn't say I've used them before. Number nine, save money with textbooks with Wikibooks. And Wikibooks is kind of neat because it's just like Wikipedia or something like that. They have books in there and you can go and contribute and all the good stuff. And number 10 is the Daily Lit. If you're not familiar with Lit, Lit is the, what am I saying? Daily Lit is the daily literature. And No Time to Read, Daily Lit breaks down big books into smaller chunks so you can read them in palatable parts. There you go.
Thank you, sir. Our final item in the Geek Library and final item of the show is from Kevin Devon. He passed this on via the Friends in Tech mailing list. It's the Cube Door.
The Cube Door.
I remember talking about this at work one day, but I didn't know where you could get them. You can find it at, of course, cubedoor.com. Lisa, what do you think? Should I do this? If you've got a cube and you live in the corporate world, yeah?
You don't have a cube.
Yeah, I do. I'm back in a cube as of October.
That's
man.
Nice.
No, that's not fair. I know.
It's horrible. Well,
yeah, when the president kicks you out, what do?
Hey, you go above his head.
This won't work on my office, though, because you need two walls the same lines. Height, and yeah. I've got one low and one high, so that people can belly up to the IT manager bar and make their requests.
But maybe you could put it on there and cover their knees.
I was thinking, you know, this is just sort of like a rollout stretchy screen that goes from one end to the other. It doesn't even reach the floor, but I was thinking more of the either a double Dutch door where a top half and a bottom half would open and close, or my favorite, the Western Saloon swinging doors would be the most cool.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Billy up, boys.
You know what? I looking at this, it reminds me of one of those baby screens that people have in the back. You just get one of those and
yeah, to shade their babies from the sun.
Yeah, baby on board. For the working moms.
All right, that's going to take us to the end of the show. If you want to get in touch with us, get a hold of us on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. Let me say that a little slower because it did kind of slide around. Lisa, you want to say it?
206-2-2-2.
Well, that's slower, all right. 2428.
How much slower can you?
You can email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. The website for all the forum, swag, webcam, mail list, and all that other good stuff is still at chuckchat.com. We want to thank Mad Marv for his continuous contributions to the Chuck Chat Technorama blog.
He's a true American.
All the good content during the week. He's got all kinds of good stuff in there that we don't even have time to cover. But if you want to keep going with the same kind of motif, shall we say, of strange and bizarre from all over the internet, that's where you can find it.
Is it a motif?
What?
Is it a motif? I don't know.
We have our own motif. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a fancy word for theme.
Maybe I should decorate my bedroom, the Technorama motif.
Ooh, there you go.
I'm sure my wife would love that. Okay, anyway.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. Lots of great tech podcasts and other stuff there. Audio streaming is provided by Scott Reynolds. If you happen to be around on a Sunday night, you can listen to the show being recorded live and hear all the extra things that Craig will probably take out that don't fit where we have technical issues. Music on some of these segues and streamers and bumpers and things provided by Scott Helms from Incoherent Mumblings.
Segway. You
can find him at incoherentmumblings.com. The chat room is provided by freenode.net at irc.freenode.net. Chat room is #Technorama. And if you're getting this show the old-fashioned way,
steal it.
Let us know, and yeah, we'll tell you how to get it a better way than stealing it.
Yeah, it's
tell
free.
A friend about Technorama, and until next time, Lisa, you want to do the binary high five?
Do it, Lisa.
101.
Cool beans, y'all.
All right.
Did you just say
too late, hot plate?
Ah, crap.